Very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben, and we thank God for this evening. We thank God for the blood of Jesus that keeps us going. And indeed, if there was ever a time that a believer would understand the power in the blood, the power that we have from what was done on the cross, I believe it should be these days, because we are in a whole different ball game altogether. The world is just something else. And I believe these are the times to understand our mandate, what we have, the power that is available to us as believers. So last week I started talking about the communion, and I had with me a pastor friend in Accra, and tonight I'm continuing. Pastor Roger will be joining by phone as well. These are very important things. Right from the beginning of the year, if you take note of the things we've been addressing, it's meant to equip us towards or for the days ahead of us. And indeed, we are not in ordinary times. As you know, even unbelievers know we are not in ordinary times. So as a believer, you should have a better understanding of what is happening. And based on these things we talk about, I believe it should equip us to be able to do what we have to do and know how we have to live. Because I've been saying it all this while, that things are just changing fast. And this year is something else. And I believe you're already beginning to see what I've been talking about. Some of it, anyway, not all. All right, so we thank God. Let me start with this question. Are we living in the end times? And some will say they've heard it so many times, and what has happened. And you know, sometimes the issue is the times. Yes, the end times didn't start today. The countdown started right from the days of Paul and James and John and all those days. But you know, it was more of prophetic towards a point in time where the things that would have to be seen to really know you are in the end times. It's only one generation that will see those things coming together. So it's like I tell you that to know that you are on your you are driving or traveling to Accra, to really know you've reached Accra or you are reaching Accra, when you start seeing, you see the signboard, you see this kiosk color, this, you see this road, you see this junction, you see this interchange, you see all sorts of things. So if you are given those descriptions, and whilst you are driving, you get to a GSO and you see a kiosk that looks like one that you are expected to see in Accra, and you say you've arrived, you've not arrived, because you just see one. You are not seeing the whole set of things you are supposed to see. You get to Konongo, you just see another symbol, but it's just one or two off. So it's when you really begin to see the full list of things you were told you should see to know you've reached a certain point, then you begin to understand that this is where you've reached. Unfortunately, see, this is what has happened in the body of Christ for years. So people see one or two and it's like, oh, that's it, we've reached. They see three and four, we've reached. And then nothing happens. Then they give up. Then their members give up. This is the reason why at the point when rather pastors should be paying attention to the times we are in. Some have talked about end time before years back and nothing happened. So it's like, well, how can I gamble again this time around? We preached it some time back and nothing happened. So you see, because people just saw one or two things and then they just jumped on the bandwagon and then nothing happened. And then it's like the whole thing just fizzled out and all that. But the fact that you made mistakes years back regarding these things does not mean when now you begin to see the real things happening, you should lose hope and you should stop talking about it. And that's the reason why if there was ever a period in the body of Christ that we should start putting our house in order, I believe we've entered that season. And we've entered it strongly because the factors have just all over us. And people think, oh, the things we are seeing are not just one off, and it's like, oh, this thing shall pass. The things we are seeing is like it starts and it continues. So it's not like it's starting and then it is ending. No, it starts and it continues, and then another joins and that one too continues. So we are having a cascading effect of multiple things happening and then escalating to become much bigger in various ways. So that's the world we are in now. And this week, there's a new virus in the world who called by Vladimir Putin, and he's taking over the work of COVID now, because his name is more common and more mentioned now than even COVID. All of a sudden, COVID is something else. I mean, look in the news and it's like, I'm not even seeing COVID again. It's all Putin, the new virus. And we need an antivirus for him, or we need a vaccine for him to deal with his evil agenda that he's pushing. And this week, what he started is worrying. And it tells us that the world is not the same as we think it is. The world is not as peaceful as we think it is. But, well, as believers, we just have to go into the Bible and we start off from there. Matthew 24, verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is it so? Jesus said these things will come before he comes. We will see these things before he comes. If every world leader, every leader decides to be peaceful, then Matthew 24, verse 6 will never be fulfilled. If every president says, I won't fight, I will be peaceful, then that means we cannot have Matthew 24, verse 6 being fulfilled. For this verse to be fulfilled, we will need people like Putin and his kind. So they are also doing their part, and we cannot stop them, because if we don't have them, some parts of the Bible will not be fulfilled. This evening I was just reading, and then the Holy Spirit drew my attention to this fact that, you see, we need them for these verses to be fulfilled. So the wars and rumors of wars will need to come from people who are whatever they are, evil-minded, whatever you can describe them, they would have to do things that would necessitate this verse to be fulfilled. And he is one of the kind, the things that we are seeing. But the assuring part is, see that he be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So these are just beginning of things that will have to come. But this is just things that will have to come and continue. But it's not the main thing. So let's take it like that. All right, let's get into some of the news. And someone sent a message that, yes, we need a vaccine for the new virus Putin. Okay. All right. So let's get into the news items for the week. And the first one is, the global energy crisis just escalated to an entirely new level. And this is just the beginning. We are now being told that we are all going to have to pay more for fuel because of the crisis in Ukraine. More specifically, the global energy crisis just took a dramatic turn for the West. And so that means all of us will soon be hit by dramatically higher energy prices. It's going to be much expensive to fill up your vehicle, and increasing cost to transport the goods that we buy will also make the overall rates of inflation even worse. And I believe you started seeing how things are just escalating up. And by the next 2-3 days, I believe petrol prices, fuel will be going up again. And we are having a double issue, because the city is also falling wildly. So the combination of the city not doing well versus the world price going up means we are having a bigger issue to deal with. So petrol prices or fuel, diesel, whatever, will go up again next week. You can imagine the impact. Transportation went up today. And, you know, these are all things which is pushing the world to another level. For those who understand the times we are in, you should not be too surprised. Yes, you shouldn't be too surprised. That's the world. So his actions, in as much as we are living in a peaceful Ghana here quietly, the inactions and actions of some people out there up in the northern hemisphere is still affecting us. So the next news, alleged Israeli airstrike targets Damascus. So the airstrike comes just a day after Syrian state media reported that Israel had fired a number of surface-to-surface missiles from the Golan Heights towards sites in Quneitra near the border. An alleged Israeli strike targeted sites near Damascus on Wednesday night, according to Syrian state agency Sana'a. 3 Syrian soldiers were killed, and material damage was caused by the airstrikes, according to Sana'a. And, you know, there's confusion everywhere. Israel is doing this thing. They had to do it because they said, according to the Syrian Capital Voice site, the strikes targeted an air defense battery in Al-Kiswa and an Iranian weapons shipment at the Damascus International Airport. So clearly they were not going to wait for the missiles or the shipment to get into the hands of bad guys who are going to use it against them anyway, Israel. So they stop it right at the airport. And then, there was this earthquake. I think I missed that one. Okay, and then this one. NATO sending historic deployment of troops to deter Putin. And that is something which has been the main news all over. All the networks are on it. So this week, they indeed attacked. Putin indeed, they vented the Ukrainian territory. Unfortunately, it's not going too well for them. It's not going too well at all. And this evening, if you read some of the news on Sky News, it's just, I saw one video, you have this ammo tank and they run out of fuel. The Ukrainians were driving and they were laughing at them. So the Russians, they run out of fuel. One gallon is finished. And they are standing there. Oh boy, interesting. Ammo car and no... It's serious, but you see, something is happening behind the scenes. It's like they are dealing with Ukraine happens to one of the few countries in eastern part of Europe that has a very large Christian population. So I believe a lot of prayer is also working for them. And things hasn't gone, it's not gone well as they've anticipated. By now they should have taken the city, Kiev, capital, and there's been a lot of resistance. The people are fighting. One inspiring one I saw, news I saw, was one engineer, military engineer, sacrificed his life to stop the Russian troops from entering the city. So he set up a detonation bomb to destroy the bridge that connects, so it's like it would stop them. They can cross over to get closer to the city. But the timing was so close that he sacrificed himself, so he died in the explosion. And he was ready to do it. So, wow, people are really... I mean, they are. You see some of the videos, some are dramatic. People like Ukrainians lying in front of armored tankers to stop them from moving. All sorts of things are happening. An old woman confronting the Russians and asking them, what are you doing here? Go back to your country. And it's like they become very emboldened, confronting them. And the other side is the Russians too are not willing to be killing us. So that's also an issue now. And you realize, I mean, some one of the news items, they had confrontations. The Russians just put down their arms. They said they are not ready to kill. So this whole thing, I just pray it just backfires, because they are beginning, some are beginning to ask, what is this whole thing about? I mean, and then what? People are in their country, and your agenda, and it's like, you just go and fight and kill them. I mean, so the whole progress has slowed, but I believe it's more of prayer that is saving them. So let's remember them in our prayers as we pray for what is happening there. So NATO now is also sending their historic deployments of troops to their neighboring countries towards, you know, the Eastern Bloc to deter Putin. As to whether it will deter him, that's something else. But, you know, by and large, it just shows, see, that problem now for NATO, in this case, US, Canada, and then those in the Europe, those countries in NATO, they are careful, because Putin's, Biden said it's this week that he's trying to avoid a direct conflict between America and Russia, because if it does happen, it becomes a world war. So they are trying to avoid it, because as soon as you have Russian soldiers versus American soldiers exchanging, it's a world war situation. Because by the constitution of NATO, when you hit one nation, you've hit all. So automatically, once one nation is hit, who is a NATO member, all the members, alliance, are enjoined to defend. So 30 nations, clearly that's something big. But, you know, the other side too, he has his friends. So that's it. But you have Ukrainian president warns UK, war will be knocking on your door if Russia is unchecked. Ukrainian president Volodymyr Zelensky is the second name that I mentioned easily, but the first one that I struggle sometimes. He warned the UK and other nations that war will be knocking on your door if Russian aggression is left unchecked. In a televised speech on Thursday, 24th February, confirming Ukraine has broken diplomatic relations with Russia, Zelensky appealed for help. He says he's spoken with world leaders, first naming Great Britain, then US, Sweden, Germany, Poland, and Austria. Dear European leaders, dear world leaders, leaders of the free world, if you won't help us today, if you don't show your strength, war will be knocking at your door, he says, according to a translation provided by Al Jazeera. Zelensky adds, glory to Ukraine, glory to the Ukraine armed forces. The Ukrainian president's warning echoes that of security expert Professor Anthony Glees, who believes, quote, might be Ukraine today, but could be all of us tomorrow, unquote. Then a new report reveals that Putin spoke with Iran's Raisi, that's Iran's president, following invasion of Ukraine. So President Vladimir Putin spoke with his Iranian counterpart, Ibrahim Raisi, on phone on Thursday, following the Russian invasion of Ukraine, according to Iranian Studies News Agency. I hope what is happening is for the benefit of nations in the region, Raisi said. Raisi stated that NATO expansion to the east is tense, emphasizing that expansion is a serious threat to the stability and security of independent countries in different regions, referring to Iran's active cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA. Putin stressed the importance of continuing consultations between the two sides on nuclear talks. Quote, NATO's expansion eastward creates tension and is a serious threat to the stability and security of independent states in various areas, Raisi was quoted saying following Russia's military attack on Ukraine. I hope what is happening will benefit peoples and the entire region, he said. How is this going to benefit other people? It's only Putin that is going to benefit him. But, well, you see, he still has friends. Iran. And then China's support for Russia turns Ukraine into a battleground for new world order. Interesting headline. China's support for Russia turns Ukraine battleground in... China's support for Russia turns Ukraine into battleground for new world order. China has given tacit approval for Russian President Vladimir Putin's latest invasion of Ukraine in the judgment of U.S. officials as part of a joint effort to undermine the institutions that American and allied leaders established to minimize conflict in the decades following World War II. Russia and the People's Republic of China also wanted a world order, State Department spokesman Ned Price said Wednesday. Quote, but this is an order that is and would be profoundly illiberal. It's an order that is in many ways destructive rather than additive. China and Russia have made a show of their alignment over the last several years, culminating in the release this month of a communique that outlined a wide range of plans for economic and diplomatic cooperation, including the Kremlin's support for Beijing's claim to sovereignty over the island democracy of Taiwan, and Chinese General Secretary Xi Jinping's support for restrictions on NATO activities in Europe. So, you support me, I support you. Price declined to draw an explicit inference from that statement that China supports Russia in the brewing war, though his Defense Department counterpart didn't shy from voicing an ominous conclusion. The February 4th statement that Xi and Putin put out was, certainly, we took it as tacit approval for what Mr. Putin is doing. Pentagon spokesman, John Kirby, told reporters. And then goes on to say that Chinese officials have sent mixed signals about the crisis in recent days. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi mentioned Ukraine by name last week when he affirmed that the sovereignty and independence and territorial integrity of all countries should be respected and safeguarded from assault. But the same people too are also planning to go and take Taiwan. So you see, they say things with one mouth and then they just mean something else. Okay. China, the next headline. China eyes Taiwan as its own as Russia tests the world with Ukraine. So China isn't backing down from its claim to ownership of Taiwan. And Beijing may be closely observing the world's reaction to Russia's invasion of Ukraine to weigh if the cost of launching an assault against Taiwan will be worth it. Beijing wants the reunification of Taiwan with mainland China, and growing tensions between the two have prompted warnings from the U.S. that America will back Taiwan in any event of a war. China questioned America's commitment to Taiwan And whilst Beijing claims there is no comparison between its relationship with Taiwan and Russia's relationship with Ukraine, a soft approach to Russia could factor into China's decision-making. On Wednesday, Foreign Ministry spokesperson Hua Qingying told reporters Taiwan, quote, is for sure is not Ukraine. Hua claimed the territory for China, calling it the inalienable part of the country, a belief that Hua labeled an indisputable historical and legal fact. It's a talking point China's held firm to, despite pressure from the Western leaders to respect Taiwan's sovereignty. President Donald Trump has predicted that China will invade Taiwan after taking inspiration from Russia moving troops into Ukraine. During a Tuesday interview on the conservative talk show, the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show, Trump suggested that Chinese President Xi Jinping would follow the example of twin sister power, Russian President Vladimir Putin by staging an invasion on the disputed island. The former president insisted that Russia would have never moved to invade Ukraine under his presidency. Okay, that one is true. While suggesting that both Putin and Xi sensed weakness in President Joe Biden. That's also true. China is gonna be next, said Trump. Absolutely. Not with me. They wouldn't have. It's a fact. I mean, this whole thing wouldn't have happened if Trump was the president. No. And that's also the reason why they didn't want him to be president, so that they can have the weakling there who they can just push around to achieve all that they want to achieve for the world. The globalists, you know, it will amaze you that these globalists, all that is happening, you know, it's all in their interests. You see, they seek chaos, and it's out of the chaos that they can bring order. So this whole chaotic world is what they are pushing. They are behind it. They push to create the chaos. It is through that they can bring out the new world order they are looking for. Because they believe that you can create a new thing out of the chaos. And that is where this whole control comes in. And also, the chaos is in their interest. Yes, they enjoy all that is happening is in their interest, because it's through that they can sanitize the system in their name, in their plans, as they want it, you know, creating a new order. And that's the world we are in. So there was this threat that in one of the interviews Putin had, he appeared to threaten nuclear attack against the West in a chilling TV address. Putin has appeared to threaten nuclear strikes if any country try to attack Russia in retaliation, in a terrifying speech. The president said the consequences of any attempt to strike back following the country's invasion of Ukraine would provoke a response never seen in history. In an address to the UK, Prime Minister Boris Johnson said that diplomatically, politically, economically, and eventually militarily, this hideous and barbaric venture of Vladimir Putin must end in failure, unquote. Quote, diplomatically, politically, economically, and eventually, militarily, this hideous and barbaric venture of Vladimir Putin must end in failure, unquote. Analysts believe the threat of deploying nuclear weapons should be the Russian army be attacked by forces outside of Ukraine was implicit in President Putin's speech. The UN Security Council had just convened an emergency meeting Wednesday night when Putin took to Russian airwaves to announce the invasion at 5:50 a.m. Moscow time. Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General for UN, had urged Putin to stop his tanks. Goes on and on. So, as for Putin, he says they want to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine. That's why they've gone there, but not to occupy. And it's just irritating. You just go to someone's country, it's like, but that's the world we live in. But the final part of that This one is on a lighter note, but it's still a news. I was amazed when I saw it yesterday. I just couldn't believe I was reading this. I'm sure you'll be amazed as well. Taliban call for resolution to Russia-Ukraine war via dialogue and peaceful means. I said, ah, these people, everybody is saying peace, so they too. So the Islamic Emirate calls for restraints by both parties. Hey, Taliban. The Taliban government in Afghanistan said regarding the Russian-Ukraine conflict. And I'm amazed that their foreign affairs ministry. So Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesperson Abdul Kahar Baki requested that the situation be resolved through dialogue and peaceful means. And it's like, come on. So these people also know peace. So it seems even the Taliban sees that Charlie, even Putin cry what he's doing. So it shows how extreme this whole thing has gone, that even the Taliban can also comment on it. Hey, interesting world. All right, but the last news item, not too good. New research reveals that credibility of pastors waning as influence of Christianity loses cultural dominance. I mean, this is a U.S. research, but I've been saying that a lot of those researches largely will reflect on our society as well. Fewer than half of American adults, including non-Christians, see pastors as, quote, very reliable, unquote, when it comes to handling spiritual matters. And the share of pastors who believe the general public sees them that way is even lower, according to newly published data from Barna Research. The research, which asks about pastors' general trustworthiness and credibility, was included in the Resilient Pastor, a book by Reverend Glenn Pakian, released February 15th. It offers pastors and Christians a way to remain resilient in their calling as they contend with the challenges of a world where Christianity no longer holds a dominant place in culture. Quote, pastors are no longer perceived as a credible voice or a trustworthy source of wisdom on much, unquote. Pakiam explains in an excerpt of the book, quote, churches don't have much of a role in a community unless they can provide tangible help or a practical care, and the people aren't likely to turn to a church or help when facing difficulties or crisis. In fact, Christianity is just one way of making meaning of this world, and it isn't really even a respected way. For many, it's archaic and outmoded, prude and rude, unquote. Pakian, who is a senior fellow at Barna Group, is also an associate senior pastor at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and the lead pastor of New Life Downtown. The data showed that when asked if pastors are a trustworthy source of wisdom, some 57% of Americans in general said pastors are at least somewhat wise. When that data is further broken down, however, only 23% of all adult Americans agree that pastors are definitely a trustworthy source of wisdom. Among Christians, the figure increases to 31%, but drops to 4% among non-Christians. Larger shares agree that pastors were somewhat a trustworthy source of wisdom, with 40% of Christians agreeing to this assessment. And I think it's not good, because the era where pastors were much respected, I remember years back when pastors wore their clerical, the respect that they got in the society, the respect that was accorded them, these days is not that much, to the point where I've heard pastors even say that sometimes they feel uncomfortable when they even wear clerical to some places, because the eyes that some people give you is like, they look at you with the corner of their eyes like, hey, you too. You know, you can see the mistrust sometimes from people's behavior and actions towards you when you say you're a pastor and all that. It's unfortunate, because you see, I believe some of these things have arisen due to the comedy that we see on TV these days, a lot of comedy in the name of pastors, prophets doing ministry. And I call it comedy because, I mean, you can see, I mean, I'm machining, but you know, I mean, you just look at this, some of the prophets, and there's no, it's pure spiritual comedy that they are just doing. And, you know, I mean, I remember somewhere, I think during the, I think 2 years or so ago, the early days of the lockdown, one day I was just flipping, and it's like, okay, let me just watch some and see. And if you ask yourself, so is this church? You see, so if an unbeliever watches this, what perception, what respect would he, you see? And see, some struggle to differentiate that, oh, this is not all prophets who are behaving this way. It's not all pastors who are behaving this way. Some just have it in their mindset that, well, that's the perception. These days, you can't trust pastors. So they just dump and lump all into one category, which shouldn't be so. But see, the actions of some on TV makes it difficult for, it's making it difficult for some to appreciate the fact that there are still genuine pastors out there. There are still genuine prophets and, you know, genuine teachers, pastors, evangelists and all, apostles and all. But the chaff is making it look like everyone is bad. So when you have such statistics, and then you also have some, you know, the news and the scandal here, scandal there, and some of these news, it changes the perception and all that people have towards the ministry. And I believe some of these statistics gives a reflection of how things are going downwards regarding the respect that Christianity should have, and even pastors. And you see, I believe the church, we are getting to the point where the church will have to redeem its image. And yes, things are going to change. Because you see, when the power and manifestations begin to move, when the revival hits again and power is moving, the Holy Spirit is moving, I mean, people will not have time to question whether it's God or not. They will know that it is God. Yes, they will know God has visited the church. They will know that it's God who is working and doing this and that here. And so the true church will rise up and shine again. In the midst of the darkness all around us, the true church is going to rise and shine again. All right, Eben, I'll be back after this short interview. Interlude, sorry. Okay.
Glory to the Lamb. For my Lord.
Program is Issues of Life, the station Spirit 88.3 FM, Kumasi, Ghana. I'm Eben, and this program comes from 8 to 9.30. It used to be 10, but now 9.30. Last week, I had Pastor Prince Sahinaka from Accra. He's in one of the Assemblies of God churches. And we were talking about the communion. And tonight we'll be continuing with Pastor Roger. And they are all associate pastors in the same church. And they are all good friends. Actually, that's the church I visit when I'm in Accra. And, you know, communion is something which, you know, sometimes some Christians, last week as I was saying, they hear the announcements, next week you are going to have communion in church. And then that means that Sunday they are not coming to church. And sometimes I feel worried when I see such actions and people just see it as some trivial something, communion service, and like Christians are sitting down, they are not taking communion. And there's one statement which my pastor says and all the time, most times actually, whatever is keeping you from taking the communion will also keep you from going in the rapture or going to heaven. And that's a fact, and that's true. So, you know, people have to understand, what is it? Why should we even be taking it? What is the power in it? Most times people don't really understand this. Some just take it just like a ritual. They say you should take, so we are taking. But there's far more to it than, you know, sometimes what we've known over the period. So we started talking about it, how very important is this, because in the occult realm, blood is very, very important. And I talked about this pastor who, in his early days, his father was occult, and whilst he was being introduced into it, every morning he was given blood to drink before he goes to school as a little boy. And see, there's power in it. Even human blood, those who drink it will tell you this. They derive power from it. That's why it's used in all sorts of things, occultic practices. The Sakawa guys use it, and all these, some of them. You know, a lot of it is done for power. Blood is used for power. And if blood of a baby, blood of a virgin, blood of whatever, or whoever is required, if they can get power in it to achieve what they want to achieve spiritually, which manifests in the physical, think about it. How much more the blood of Jesus? How much more the blood of Jesus through the power of communion? See, this is a very powerful thing. Unfortunately, it's not all believers who understand what we have as believers, the power that is available to us. And tonight, Pastor Roger will join me, and he will quote all the verses from his side this evening. All right, so I think he'll be calling soon to join by phone, and we'll be talking. And, you know, it's important we address the issue. Let's understand it, because we are getting to the days where, we are in the days, actually, where evil is rising to abnormal levels. And it's very important we address the issue of these things well, because divine security, divine protection comes in various levels and at various categories. Let me put it that way. You know, we need to ensure that we benefit fully from every means of security that's available for us as believers. And we should understand why we should do some things. And for instance, if I tell you that, oh, if you eat, you drink orange, you get vitamin C, it's good for this, that. And so, okay, you say, okay, because of this, that's why I'm taking it. But if you are to be told that
the same vitamin C also gives you extra something which perhaps you didn't know. That means it becomes an extra advantage for you then. And that's exactly what we should understand, that taking the communion is not just a ritual, just take for taking sick. There are countless testimonies of people who will tell you that because of the communion, since they started taking the communion, the things that they can attest that is because of this. Testimonies, a lot of people. There's more to it. So it's important we understand these things and look at it. Okay, score. Not yet in. Okay, so I'll be back briefly. Let me get him.
This table of mercy. Come to the table of mercy. Prepared with the wine and the bread.
All who are hungry.
All who are hungry and thirsty. Come and your souls will be fed. Come at the Lord's invitation. Receive from his nail-scarred hand. Eat of the bread of salvation. Drink of the blood of the Lamb.
Come to the table of mercy.
The table of mercy, prepared with the wine and the bread. All who are hungry and thirsty, come and your souls will be fed.
Oh,
come and
Hello.
Good evening, Pastor Roger.
Good evening.
You are welcome back to Kumasi online by phone.
Thank you very much. Good evening once again, and good evening to all your cherished listeners.
Yeah.
Tonight, as we discuss this all important issue, my prayer is that may every barrier be broken and may the Holy Ghost set you free as we delve into the scriptures. We had a very good time, Pastor Prince. And tonight I will pick it from another portion. Tonight, we want to look at the glorious revelation of the life that is hidden behind the bread. The life that is hidden behind the bread. Because Jesus came down to earth so we can know heaven on earth. Before Christ went to the cross, he trained his disciples to appropriate for themselves all that he had conquered for us. Indeed, his apostles understood it. They not only lived it, they taught it in such a way that the whole first century church is, when you look at it from the book of Acts, moved in this mind. Today, we read about that glorious church, the awesome manifestations of the Spirit of God, and yearn for what they had. It looks like those days seem so distant. And what is the missing link? The missing link is hidden in the great legacy Jesus left us, the mystery of communion. When you read the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42 and 43, tonight I'll pick it in two versions. The first from the King James Version.
Okay.
It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. When you pick it from the Passion Translation verse, this is what it says. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. 43. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Now, with the death of the founding fathers of the church, many revelations were forgotten. Traditions and the ways of men began to spring up in the church like weeds and thistles. The life hidden in this mystery became something mechanical, contaminated by religion. What was once lived, alive, gradually became a ritual. That is why last week, Pastor, yourself and Pastor Prince could discuss that a pastor has put communion on hold for us for 1 year.
1.5 years.
Why? It has become contaminated by religion and has become a ritual. But tonight, I want us to go through this. When you read church history, this man, Philip Chaff, under the history of the church, wrote this. He said, Christianity exists not merely as a power or principle in this world, but also in an institutional and organized form, which is intended to preserve and protect, not to obstruct it. Christ established a visible church with apostles as authorized teachers and rulers, and did right, baptism, and the Holy Communion to be observed to the end of the world. This was written by Philip Schaff, History of the Church. So, we are looking at communion not as a ritual, but communion as something else. Communion as a legacy that was left to us. Tonight, I want to pick it from the point of the bread. Exodus 12, verse 14. He says, this day will be one for you to remember. This is a permanent law for generations to come. You will celebrate this day as a pilgrimage festival in the Lord's honor. Last week, Pastor Prince made mention of this. This is a permanent law for generations to come. It is not a ritual. It is a permanent law. Kisop had an advert, and that advert was from grandfather or grandmother to mother to child. And they would say the generation was a continuous. The tradition continued. Mm-hmm. That is the Kisop advert. This was something that was instituted, and it must continue. One of the things we need to understand, when the Lord gave Moses in Exodus 14, there was no time limit and there was no age limit.
Mm-hmm.
There was no time limit, there was no age limit. This is a permanent law for generations to come. No time limit, no age limit. So in Exodus 12, verse 29, it says, at midnight, the Lord killed every firstborn male in Egypt, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who ruled the land, to the firstborn son of the prisoner in jail, and also every firstborn animal. Question. What has it to do with the firstborn animal?
Interesting.
Assuming your firstborn son was 1 month old, will he die? If you are looking at it from the Exodus context, will he die? He said the Lord killed every firstborn.
Yeah.
We are in a generation that likes logic and reasoning. So every firstborn, put it into a universal set. What does it mean? And Bible went on to tell us, the firstborn son of the prisoner in jail, and also every firstborn animal. So if last week Pastor Prince talked about communion healing birds and animals, then this scripture into that bill. Now the question I want us to ask ourselves, did Jesus also talk about it? Did Jesus teach about it? Because we know we have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. And anything we want to continue, we want to also look at it from the old and from the new. Did Jesus talk about it? Did he teach about it? The answer is yes. And where do we get it from? John chapter 6, verse 48.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Well, I read this scripture last week. The Holy Ghost gave me an understanding. And this was the understanding that I want to share with you. I am the bread of life, which means your life and my life depends on it. So there is a bread that gives you life. There is a bread that gives me life. And therefore, if you want life, you need that bread. And tonight, as you listen to this discussion, I know you need life in many areas of your life. You need life. Therefore, I'll recommend that to you. And that bread is called the bread of life. In John chapter 6, verse 49, he says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing John 6 verse 48 verse 49 together, what bread was Jesus talking about? Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. I am the bread of life. What bread is Jesus talking about? He is telling us that this bread began right from the wilderness. And a good reference is Exodus chapter 16, verse 1 to 5. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 1 to 5, Bible says, the whole community of Israelites and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. This was on the 15th day of the second month, after they had left Egypt. Verse 2, in the desert, the whole community complained about Moses and Aaron. Verse 3, the Israelites said to them, if only the Lord had let us die in Egypt, there we sat by our pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. You brought us out into this desert to let us all starve to death. Verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, I am going to send you food from heaven. Like rain. Each day, the people should go out and gather only what they need for that day. In this way, I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. So I ask myself, what is manna? Because Jesus talked about the bread of life. And his first reference was to the manna in the wilderness. Psalm 78, verse 24. I'll read in two versions. It says, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. That is King James Version. The corn of heaven. Remember when we read Exodus chapter 15. From verse 1 to 4, the Lord told Moses, I am going to send you food from heaven like rain. So number one, manna was not made on earth. Made in heaven. And the psalmist says in Psalm 78 verse 24, that it was corn of heaven. And verse 25, I am going slowly so that someone listening to us will pick your Bible and look at it. Scripture is big and is capable of answering itself. Psalm 78, verse 25, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the fool. So Psalm 78, 24, and 25 gives us two things that the manna was. Number one, the manna was the corn of heaven. Number two,
angels food.
The manna was angels' food.
Mm-hmm.
So can communion be a ritual? No. Remember, in Exodus chapter 16, they have told Moses that they sat by pots of meat and ate all the food they wanted. That was what they told Moses. But now, when the manna came in, what did the manna do for them? It fed them. But what else did manna do for them? What did Israel gain as they ate the manna? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Bible says, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 4. Take note of Deuteronomy 8, verse 4. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. What was this? Manna. I am talking about the bread. Communion consists of two things. The bread, which stands for the body of Christ, and the blood, or the wine, which stands for the blood. But tonight, I want us to only consider one, the bread. In the Old Testament, that is when the bread was introduced. And Jesus, in the book of John, has given reference to that day. Therefore, for us to understand the bread that we eat as manna, the bread that we take during communion, we need to understand what the manna did for them. And Deuteronomy 8 verse 4 says, your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Only the bread. Why? Number one, it was the corn of heaven. Number two, it was angels' food. So as you eat angels' food, you don't wear out. As you eat angels' meal, you don't swell. The system cannot wear you out. Today, even water is not secured. The food that we eat is not secured. But there is something that gives you security. And that is communion. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 20 says, you gave your good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. Verse 21. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. Listeners, brethren,
yeah.
I only looked at John chapter 6. I only looked at John chapter 6, verse 48 and 49. But when we get to verse 50, it says, this is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. The question I want us to ask ourselves is, was Jesus lying? He has given us a reference to the Old Testament. We have looked at it from Deuteronomy, and we have looked at it from Nehemiah. Did they die? If their clothes could not even die, that is the part of communion. That tells you that communion can work even on the non-living things. So if today you are skeptical about communion, what are you doing to yourself? You are harming your own self. You are not harming Christ. Therefore, before Christ went to the cross, he decided to teach his disciples again about communion. So the first introduction of communion was way down in the wilderness. From the Old Testament to the time Christ came, it was only the bread. And the bread was working for them. Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday,
today,
and forever. Whatever worked for them yesterday is working today and will work tomorrow. So if Bible tells us when they ate the bread, their feet did not swell, their feet did not wear out, ask yourself, if they did not die in the wilderness, even from the sunshine, from their exhaustive walking, from their 40-year journey, and the Lord kept them by the manna, what can't the Lord do for you? Tonight, I say we are only looking at the bread. We are not looking at the blood. So Jesus now says in John 6:51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. He now gives us a clear understanding of what the manna is. The manna has life in it. It has life in it. Therefore, he could say, I am the living bread. Anything that it has life. A little sign will tell us anything that is living has what? Life. So Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Then he continues, if anyone eats of this bread, that is a condition. If anyone eats, it is a choice that you have to make. Last week, even said, the Bible is full of principles.
The prophecies.
Prophecies. And the last one is what? The
promises.
If it's a principle, if it's a conditional tense, if you decide to eat of this bread, he says, he will live forever.
And it's a promise too.
And that is a promise. There is a condition, and there is a promise. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. See what Jesus is now bringing across. He is now moving us the manna time and bringing it upon himself. So please, the bread is not a ritual. It is not for religious purposes. It has life. It has life. Look at the discourse from verse 48, 51. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. And the manna indeed rained down from heaven. But now he connects the manna to himself. In verse 51, I am the living bread. My brother, my sister, listening to me. He is the living bread. Yes, the word of God is living and active. But he gave us something that is also beyond the word. And that is the bread. And this kept Israel for all their years. Tonight, why do you say it cannot keep me? Why do you doubt that it cannot keep you? That is why tonight I chose everything right from scripture. Because the Bible is big and can answer for itself. myself and Abraham do not need to give you answers. The Bible is capable of answering for itself. So, Moses told them, this was what the manna did. And Moses was a direct recipient of the manna. So when he was speaking in Deuteronomy 8, he knew what he had seen. Then we had the psalmist come to tell us that their clothes did not wear out, their feet did not swell, because the food they were eating was not man-made food. It was supernatural, corn of heaven. Today, in Ghana, what is our basic subsistence food? Is it not corn?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Is that not corn?
Yeah, corn.
It is corn. So if today the whole country, when corn gets short, our life is going off, then heaven gives you corn. This is the corn of heaven. I am not quoting my words. It is written in the Bible. What will it do for you? Then he continued to tell you that that was angel's food. Before I end, I'll give you two things. Angels are spirits. So when you eat angel's food, anything spiritual, it is salt. When Israel also ate it, their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. That was physical. That means communion has the power to deal with the spiritual and to deal with the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you cheating yourself? If animals can get healed, why can't you get healing? As we discuss this, we'll begin to share the testimony. But first, we want to give ourselves an understanding.
Yeah, the fundamentals.
The fundamentals. I am not worried about your doubt. Because John chapter 6, verse 52, after end, it says, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? This is where our problem is. On that day when he was speaking, they disputed. So today, if you are disputing, you are not off. But please, come out of your dispute. Come out of your argument and join us and let's get life. When the manna first came, if Israel had refused to eat, they would die. They left their complaining, they left their doubting, and they went to collect it. And as they collected it, they survived. Tonight, as you partake of the bread, I promise you one thing. You will survive. You will survive. You will survive the wickedness of the system. You will survive the agenda of the system.
Yeah.
You will survive everything that is pumped into you. The things that should make you die. Jesus says, you will not die. Why? You have taken the bread. That is he himself in you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to end here.
Yeah, because time is fast.
Because time is up.
Yeah.
Next week, God willing,
mm-hmm.
we will continue. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Roger. We thank God for these things. These are not things which you often hear around, you know, in churches. But, you know, it's important we talk about these things because of the times we find ourselves in. We need to be equipped spiritually. This is Issues of Life. This is Eben. We thank God for this edition. God willing, next week. I'll be coming your way, and this file will be recorded. It's recorded and it will be uploaded to the server and then to the Telegram group. All right, so spiritissues.info, you can get the recording there. We thank God. God willing, next week. See you. Good night. God bless you.
Come to the table of mercy.
Come to the table.